Welcome back to Overdunk, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks. I am joined by Bridget and Wonder Chef for today's episode. And today's episode is a special one. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. Honestly, I might be at the front of that line because we get to recap one of the best Unite events that this game and this community has ever had. NAIC was a blast. It was so much fun. And we're going to be recapping the 2 days, the matches that happened, some controversies that went off, of course. We got to discuss some of that, but also the fun stuff that was a part of the event. And we also have the format for the World Championships revealed. So this is going to be an absolute banger episode. It's going to be awesome. But I am joined by two of my greatest friends in the whole wide world, and they were at this event with me. So Wonder Chef, how have you been? Are you rested? You recovered? How you feeling after NAIC?
Tired. Extremely tired.
Okay, great.
But... I didn't realize I was home yet, and I woke up today. I was like, "Am I still in New Orleans?"
But, yeah,
you know, I'll get there eventually, I think.
Okay, awesome. That's so funny. Yeah, Natalie and I got off the plane and like got onto the train and went back to our place, and then we're like, "Ah, it's cold here." Like in Chicago, like compared to New Orleans, like this is crazy. But I'm kind of loving it. Honestly, it's nice. It's nice.
I thought the same thing cool in weather. LA, which was weird. I got back to LA and I was like, oh, and I was like, wait a minute, what? What am I doing? This is Los Angeles, but it's pretty hot over there.
Okay.
Less humidity.
Remind me, I have a hilarious, scary travel story from on the way back home that I got to tell.
No. But
Bridget, how have you been since NAIC?
I've been good. I'm still traveling, visiting a friend who lived near New Orleans. I feel like my voice is like, I almost lost it, but I didn't quite lose it.
Okay.
So I'm recovering. I slept a lot so far. So
good. That's an important part of it. I'm kind of planning on rocking that tonight after the podcast. That is going to be the game plan. But awesome. Good to hear. I'm doing well as well, but I did want to mention this travel story. It was kind of crazy. So New Orleans is set up that you could Uber to the airport. It's like a pretty expensive Uber, like from where the venue was to the airport. Like it's pretty
like
big
almost
distance.
40.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's pretty expensive. It's not like LA expensive, but it's like,
it is expensive. It is.
But
yeah,
there is a really cheap option. I'll probably do this option again when I go next time, is there's a bus that goes extremely close to the venue. That's like $3 that goes to the, and from the airport. And I was like, and Natalie and I were awesome. This is what we're going to take to get back to the airport. On the second day, we'll go hang out at a coffee shop in kind of downtown New Orleans. And then when it's time for our flight, we'll go. So we make it to the bus. This bus, it like the first stop, it like stops for a really long time. Like it pulls in, they're there. Also, the entire way from our stop to the first stop, it is like this incessant beeping sound. That like sometimes, like, I don't know how this city bus system works, right? Like maybe they just have like constant lights going on, who knows? But it's just got this beep, beep, beep kind of going on right near the driver. And I'm just sitting near the front and I can tell this driver is like getting pretty ticked off. And we pull in and we stop at the first stop and just the whole bus just goes boom. It just shuts down. And we're like, all right, this is fun. Eventually, like, he's, like, radioing. The bus driver's, like, radioing the back end or whatever. Eventually gets out, restarts the bus, and they're like, all right, well, here we go. No more beeping. And so we're all, like, looking around. It's a bus just full of Pokemon players. Like, this is everybody from the event. You know, everyone's dressed out to the nines. Everyone's holding plushies and looking towards the front of the bus with scared little eyes. We're one of them. And we start driving again. And the next time it starts making that sound is on the middle of the interstate. And the bus starts like rattling. You know, like when you drive over like the edge of the interstate where it's got all like the ridges built in to kind of wake you up if you're drifting off the road. Like that much. Like, and it almost stalls out again twice on the interstate while we're driving. And we finally, like, both times he's able to just slow like right down, like almost to a stop, and then the engine kind of gets going again. And then we drive and we pull into the airport and the whole bus just erupts in cheers and claps as we get off. And I was like, oh man, I don't care how bad my Spirit flight goes on the way home. It can't be worse. It can't be worse than that bus. So yeah, I thought that was, I thought that was pretty funny. So,
that's horrifying.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Ripto, I know your teammate was on it. That's where I met that guy, which I thought it was so funny. He like got off the bus and then he like stopped me at the airport. He's like, "Hey, Zoinks," and I was like, "Yeah, what's going on?" So anyway, the weekend was full of experiences like that, which were both awesome, hilarious, and a little scary, but it was a lot of fun. But anyway, that's my fun travel story. It's a bit of a peek behind the curtain, but well, you two, should we start getting into the NAIC recap? I mean, there's a lot to break down here. Bridget, where do you even want to start?
I know, so I was just wondering. Uh-huh. I guess.
Man, should we just do like a quick over like highlight, like each maybe? Like, what was your favorite part of the weekend? I feel like that's a decent place to start.
Ooh.
Wonder Chef, do you have one?
I mean, yeah, almost certainly was the final moment of, well, if this counts, I mean, it's just a gameplay thing, but the final moment of the last stretch grand finals with OG East beating like 46 times in a row.
That was big.
Unbelievable. Like 46 times in a row all the way through into their, like, almost their, like, home goal zone and then back up, and then four people were chasing him, and then he got all the way back down, and it was just like, what is going on? It was just a really cool way to end, I think, that whole thing. There's like, six storylines that go into that, and it's just, like, the coolest way to end something.
Yeah, it was so sick. Yeah, from Phalanx having 100% win rate in that match and losing in the final game with a counterpick Lucario Extreme Speed was pretty hype. Can we talk about Nola griefing with the power outage? You know what's so funny is Unite weirdly, like, was pretty okay in the power outage setting. Like, our admins in the back didn't lose power with setup or anything, so we were able to just pause game. Like, I don't know, it was okay. I know VGC got hit pretty hard with the power outage. Mm-hmm. Like, that one was tough. TCG obviously not affected. I think Go was pretty okay, because obviously it's all run. So, yeah. Does anybody want to? Oh, yeah. It was the Nola Police Department, NAOPD. Did you know that, Bridget?
No, it was them. So, it wasn't Doopsnax.
There was a
plug.
No, not Doopsnax. There was a.
I thought he did, though.
There was a high speed chase, apparently, in New Orleans, and a cop car, like, hit some kind of power line or something. And what? It cut out power. And so it shut down power. That was the first power outage. And then when eventually, like, the grid workers or whoever, like, operates utilities in New Orleans, when they turned it back on, that was the second power outage. Because that was because it went from backup back to main.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I had no idea.
Like,
yeah,
what a random problem.
Fluke of I had no idea what I thought it was. Doopsnax was very convincing on the broadcast that it was him. So yeah, I was like, you know what, I kind of believe him.
Oh, it was so funny.
I think he really did think that. He like kicked the table right as it happened on accident, and he really thought they just like wired the entire venue's power.
Yeah, it was that flimsy of an operation.
The wither in chat saying, "I heard Doopsnax chewed through a power cable because he was hungry." Listen,
yeah, I heard that too.
We needed the snacks and snacks segment, and because no one was giving up the food. So we just had to get into it. Yeah, that is hilarious. Honestly, shout out to Deucenex and Spraggles during that moment. I was talking with another TCG commentator. His name's Wancho. He was hosting the event for the trading card game at NAIC. Super funny commentator. Really love his work. But we were laughing so hard at the back because all the other games, if you're looking at just the Twitch like thumbnails, it's just like the normal placard that they put on during breaks or whatever to hold time. And then you look at Unite, and it's Spraggles and Doopsnax, like, squatting down next to a light telling a spooky ghost story.
They're doing, like, ASMR.
It was so funny. I was like, leave it to those two for just being absolute bananas. I think... Okay, I know, I'm sorry, podcast listeners, is probably insufferable, but I'm going to keep reading chat because they're absolutely crushing it. Ripto saying, "I was sitting behind Bridget and everyone was asking if Doopsnax was serious, and she was like, he could be."
It's really a 50-50.
That is so funny, Bridget. Yeah. Okay.
They thought so. He was very convincing.
Oh, that's awesome. Chad, who was the most well-dressed of the event? I mean, it's not even particularly close. Chad, okay, so obviously we're going to talk more about it, but the Chad at the event, the guy wearing the banana suit, I think everybody knows your name at this point in time. There was, like, in the production back channels, I was watching, like, there was, like, a, you know, TCG liaisons and stuff like that. Someone just, a random producer, put a message in and was like, is there somebody in a banana suit backstage? And then someone else just said, yeah, they're Unite. And everyone went, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that checks out.
Oh man, our reputation precedes us. These events, which I think is so funny.
No, that rules.
Oh, okay. But Bridget, how about you? Did you have a favorite part of the event?
Yeah, you know, speaking of the banana guy, just seeing the DOL kittens run and just like
100%.
I don't know. I feel like you guys really—they became the people's team like very quickly. Yeah. Like it was just fun to cheer for them and see you guys go as far as you did. So That was probably a big one for me.
Yeah, they're a huge. There's such a huge storyline. Like, I mean, we had Chris Heroes tweeting about how they're cheering for the DOL Kittens.
2025,
baby. Yes, it was sir. Awesome. I have so many highlights. I think my favorite one was the day two stage interviews were just so fun from the beginning to the end. I think that was probably what I would call out. Like, the players just giving us a lot of emotion and excitement and trash talk or whatever. Like, it was really, really fun. So I think that was my highlight. But another one was I got to interview the DOL Kittens like right after they beat Team YouTube in the final stretch on day one to qualify. Like, it wasn't on main broadcast. It was on like the roaming camera. And just being able to capture them in that moment was so sick. Very, very fun. I think they played the video of it on stream at one point. So it was pretty awesome. Very cool to see.
Yeah, I remember I was over by, I just walked over, I think right as Kittens won, and Chad is, you know, screaming, so excited. So and Muck so turns around and goes, I apologize for my teammate. It was just,
that's awesome.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
It was hilarious. It's Elmo Girl is Ryan, right? Like, that is, I hope I'm getting names right. But anyway, their in-game team was Elmo Girl. They, with a minute left on the clock, like after they got Ray, were like scoring, they like dropped their controller and stood up and were popping off. And we were like, I was standing beside you, Undershev, and JL, from like Luminosity Gaming. And we were both like waving to them, like, no, sit down. You're going to get like a game loss. Sit down.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah, like they were just so excited. They won and everything. It was like, heck yeah, like you're doing it, but like you're crushing. Just pop off in a minute, please.
It was literally like a minute left. I genuinely was like, did I misread who's on this team?
Yeah.
Were they like not playing? Am I just like totally misunderstanding where everybody is sitting? Because it was seriously like a minute left. Ray had been taken, and the moment Ray gets taken, it's just like boom out of the seat. I was like, huh?
Yeah. Eventually Ryan went back down. They finished the game whenever they were both, because like JL's played enough games on stage to know, like, you gotta watch out.
Yeah,
like,
the rules.
You can get game losses, like things can get hairy like that. Like, don't mess that up. So we were both like, you're killing it, but please sit
That's so cute.
But it was great. It was such a fun moment. I also got to interview the other squad that qualified through the winner's side. We didn't get to interview Team YouTube after, because I think we were still on main stage at that point. But
yeah.
Sobe's interview was so good. I mean, which one? That interview was awesome.
Literally.
Where she said she was winning for women, and then on stage when she's like, "It's so freaking early right
Too
now."
Early. Yeah, I like that one.
Awesome. Oh, that was so good. So many good moments. But okay, let's start recapping a little bit. Start with day one, which was, of course, our regional finals top eight. We were able to catch almost every game on broadcast out of this bracket. I think, what did we miss, two maybe? Or just one? I think we just missed one.
Just one. It was originally going to be two, and then we just missed one, right?
Yeah, and then we ended up just missing
Nemesis
one.
Nemesis Nihao?
Yeah, Nemesis Nihao was off broadcast, but other than that, we saw every single game, which was pretty crazy. So What was everybody? Does anybody have a favorite game from day one? And to help that out, I'll pull up bracket right now.
Yes, please. Yeah.
I was about to say, yeah, I feel both like we've had an entire other tournament since then. I was like, oh, wait, we did.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Not... Oh, wait, we did. Yeah, you're right. All right, so here it is. Nemesis Nia was the only one off broadcast. Other than that, we got to have every single game on broadcast, which I think was so awesome. Very, very cool change. That, I mean, the first credit that we got to give towards the organizers, because we will have some big critiques of this tournament, obviously. That was a lot of discourse going on around that, and I think a lot of it was fair. But we do want to say, like, a huge positive is that they were taking the feedback of not enough games on broadcast, and they have been trying to come up with formats and ways to run in how Pokemon runs tournaments, like, basically to make these systems work and have as many games on broadcast, and we got to do it here, which I thought was super sweet. But yeah. Gosh, I mean, there were so many good ones. Brave Bird vs. Luminosity Gaming, Colin Tang just absolutely going crazy in that game. Still couldn't take down LG, though. LG versus G, or Overlord called Slash's son. That was sick. So fun there. Orange Juice versus Nemesis first matchup was really good. Nemesis versus LG with a 2-0'd LG was crazy. Dang, I don't even know if I can pick a favorite match out of this. It's just a good tournament. Maybe Grand Finals. Nemesis Orange Juicers was a really exciting Grand Finals. It was a long, like, gauntlet of matches, but they were really, really good.
Yeah. Both the Grand Finals we had were really good, which is a weird thing to be able to say.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was tough. That one was long. And
yeah.
I mean, it looked like it was going to go both directions, so I thought that one was really fun. But my favorite moment, I have to say, still, it was Brave Birders. I know I always do the Brave Birders sweep thing as like kind of a joke, but like, I cannot understand how Colin Tang was playing so well. Like, again,
he
not an insult
so
to Overlord. Yeah, he looked incredible. He was literally on a speedster winning against Overlord Zoroark with a Comfey on it. Like, who in the entire universe can do that? Colin Tang consistently, apparently, because it was the entire match. I've never seen anybody win in that situation except for Colin Tang, who was like dominating. Yeah. And they didn't win, which is unfortunate. But it was still amazing to see.
Yeah, I thought it was sick. I thought it was really a fun match. Bridget, how about you? Any moment throughout day one really standing out to you?
I actually do want to give, like, shout-outs to Ignorance. I think them on... It was kind of, like, combination day one and day two, but, like, man, Neon was just a standout for me. Like, they looked, like, really, really good against Exile. Like, those were really close games as well. And then... obviously eventually fell to G on day one, but man, I was just really impressed, like, both days with all of them. Really,
it felt like they stepped up for sure. Like Ignorance has always kind of been I would say it was like a mid-table team. Like, you're talking like 16th through 8th, you know, with like a with an upper limit that can go really high, which we've seen before. But obviously it's tough because the story with Ignorance is, like, the first time we really noticed them, what has been their best performance was like the start of last year. And it's just like they're chasing that same, like, high. But it feels like they're getting closer and closer. It was really cool to see how well they were performing in this tournament. Taking out Exile, who's a top four team.
Was
so crazy. But yeah, that Delpha. I mean, Neon is just literally different on Delphox. There is a few players who I could just, like, in my mind, I'm like, you just, maybe something else is better here in draft, but, like, you should just go that Pokemon. I have that on a few different players, like Sam on Gardevoir on YouTube. It's just maybe a different jungler is better here, but, like, your Guardian is just that good. You should probably be locking it in. But yeah, I think that was obviously really cool. But yeah, Ignorance take them down 2-1. G2-0, but I mean, the way G was playing, they were pretty locked in. I said
your
it.
Favorite term. My favorite term.
Yeah, Ignorance got the land buff. That's really true. I think Ignorance are becoming landables. Exciting to see.
Big.
So big. But Luminosity Gaming going on a pretty sweet run. I mean, it felt like after loser semis and they like got top three or whatever, I think beating G was the main objective of LG. Like, it kind of felt like that in the tournament. Like, they wanted to win that game. Felt like they just kind of ran out of steam a little bit in Nemesis. Like, Nemesis was coming with a lot of energy into that game. They carried that momentum in the grand final where they beat Orange Juicers 3-1 to force the reset. And then Orange Juicers really turned it around, which is kind of crazy. But, Jeez, I don't know. It was day two. I was like, Wonder Chef, I was looking, I was like, which was our 2-point game? And that was day two. That's right. But
yeah.
In the final
that was nuts. Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Was that a Deal with Kittens game?
Yeah, it was. It was the first game of the tournament. We catch up record.
That's right.
Honestly. Yeah.
That set was so good. And then the second one was the score race.
It was good. So, okay. Let's talk about a bit of the elephant in the room here with the regional finals, just kind of how the format worked in this tournament, with this tournament kind of being forced to conclude the day before and having the final stretch, essentially a Worlds LCQ, happen on day two and all that stuff. If you were not on Twitter or anything, maybe you didn't see any of this, but there was a lot of chatter on Twitter and stuff like that about the prize allocation for regional finals instead going over to the final stretch. It was a whole thing. I feel like a lot of the first day or so of the conversation was like, there was some misinformation going around. I feel like most of that's been cleared up at this point. Like, it's not really the talk anymore. The problem is now, like, the decision was made at some point to basically put all the emphasis on final stretch and just not have as much emphasis on the regional finals in terms of trophies, in terms of, like, fanfare and everything like that. Because I think the logic by the decision was that the other regions didn't have that as much. Let's focus on the more unique tournament at NAIC. It'll be on Saturday. It's the day two anyways, that kind of thing. To start this off, I just wanted to say, like, I don't agree with that decision. I really wish we just had two trophy ceremonies. I think that is, like, by far the easiest answer to this. Like, let's just celebrate both of these events. That would be really, really cool. But yeah, I do think that the regional final should have been more exciting. I would have loved if once we knew that the grand final, or the top three, was going to be all teams qualified for Worlds anyway, maybe we hold that match for day two. Should be kind of interesting. Maybe you can't do that. I don't know. But yeah, it was a pretty huge bummer. Obviously, Orange Juicers were extremely upset about this on socials and in the venue and stuff. So that was... that was a big bummer. So not a fan of that at all. Any words from the two of you on this? But...
Yeah, I mean, it did feel like, I mean, remind me, Zoinks, when we did NAIC last year, was it like a Worlds qualifying? Like, yes. Did we already know our Worlds qualifiers? Like,
we did.
Going into that?
We did. Okay. It was just more exciting because the narrative was stronger, right? There was, like, a villain and a hero. Like, it just, it was more exciting because, like, the crowd was so into those particular teams. It was just kind of a little movie.
Well, we knew it in Grand Finals, but we didn't know it at the start of the NA Regionals, if that was the question. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yeah, kind of. It just felt like once, like, really, it felt like LG beating G was kind of like, I mean, I know, obviously, like, placement definitely mattered, travel award mattered, like points, like there were things that mattered for those top three teams, but as a
money
spectator seeing
big.
That,
yeah,
pretty much the money,
yeah,
it was like, oh, well, they're all going to world, so.
Right.
As a viewer, I wasn't as invested, if I'm being honest, so I was just curious, I was like, wow, was it, it did, because it, yeah, it really didn't feel like that last year, and maybe it's because it was all of it being on Friday felt odd. I obviously understand why, like...
Yeah, it was odd. It was odd overall. I know, I think you're absolutely right. The thing... So I've been thinking about that a lot. And the, like, narrative of they're already... These teams are already qualified for Worlds being the big detractor from excitement. And I want to admit, I think like some of the like our commentary team, Chef, I don't know if you agree with this. I think we might be kind of at fault for that being a little less exciting. No. Just because like I feel like the narratives we push a lot are it's all about worlds. Like it's all about how do we look for worlds? How does this region look compared to the other two regions at the world championships? How to like who's gonna make it to worlds? Who's gonna win those slots? And it's a little less inter-regionally focused, or not inter, inner-regionally focused. Like, we don't do as good of a job of being like, you're the champion of North America. You know what I mean? I feel like we've sort of put our focus on worlds, and it's maybe not our fault per se, but it's just like the way the format works, it's a little, maybe a little too world-centric. Where the, you know, winning a regional final doesn't feel as cool as just qualifying for worlds. I don't know. That's an interesting thing. But Wonder Chef, how about you? Thoughts on kind of the format that was set up? But
a lot of what you all said. I think one thing to kind of remind everybody, or two things. I've got two big things to remind everybody.
Yeah.
Are that A, obviously, I agree with the fact that, like, obviously things could have been done better. But A, the important thing to remember is that, like, a lot of it, I think, is a carryover from last year. Because last year, EU-IC was EU regional finals. NAIC was NA regional finals. It was one tournament each. And it was pretty easy, right? And they set it up, and it's like, okay. But then this year, like, there were so many changes, and I love the direction that the changes are going. I think AOS Cup was possibly one of the coolest things. But, you know, it was pretty clearly to me the coolest thing that's ever been, like, added in the season.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So fun. And then this time around, so that's the first thing, right? Like, obviously, this thing's changing, two tournaments per time. Pokemon doesn't do that in any other game, so we may be a little bit of a casualty of, you know, we're too cool.
I'm with you, Chef. It feels like NA, maybe we're putting too many changes, and we kind of got caught up to that at NAIC. It's like we sort of tripped up with all the changes right at this last event.
Right, and then the other thing I think to kind of remind people is that of course we can kind of take a look at like what the final stretch was and say like, well, yeah, the fourth place team in the previous day was the strongest team in the second day, which is like, yes, we do know that in hindsight, but also like the concept of final stretch is like anybody from any region, no matter whether qualified or not, knows that they can go over there. Nobody in the entire world was out of the running. And there could have been, you know, a bunch of Japanese teams and Southeast Asian teams and LATAM teams, and we could have had basically AOS Cup number two on our hands, but it just didn't work out that way. I think the concept was that it was going to be probably higher representation than it ended up being. And then, you know, if you had, let's just say, you know, you had a Kabuchon's type team and a Fusion type team, and, you know, the third place in like every region all showing up, then like, also showing them as big winners feels like it makes more sense than it did. Obviously, you know, G was like maybe tied with the Okins for my favorite team of the tournament, but I freaking loved them. But you know, just with the way it turned out, it looked like it felt like it was less for them. I think that's why it confused people.
For sure, it confused people, and obviously it's most frustrating for orange juicers. I'm seeing a few of them in chat right now and stuff too, so I think like everyone agrees with you, like, yeah, obviously it really sucks for that team that was the situation. It is NA, we do tend to yap. I will say, talk your stuff, obviously complain, make the proper, I will just say this, make your proper complaints to the right people. how do I say this? Kindly to people I genuinely like that were acting, in my opinion, horrible. Here's what I'm going to say. You, like, have every right to be upset. That is so baroque. Like, I totally get it. You had a big moment. You did win a whole frick lot of money. So they're like, but you do have every right to be upset. Berating casters from other games to tell you that you like to try to get people to like to tell them to go back and tell people that you need to get your trophies or something is the most disrespectful, like unbelievable crap that I have ever heard. And I was never more disappointed in some of the people on Orange Juicers that I really looked up to before. Because those are my friends and they just left the green room and all of a sudden were like a bunch of random players that they'd never met in their life jumped up in front of them were like, where's our blah, 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 blah. Like, yo, talk your stuff wherever you want to. Like, just keep it contained and like have some respect to like other people. Anyway, sorry, that is me just being a little out of pocket. When I heard that, I was freaking livid. So that's some of the most disrespectful crap I've ever heard of. So don't do that again, I guess, is my answer to that. But yeah. I don't know. But okay, we can we can leave it at that. I did see some people in chat though too saying that overall that the event was awesome. It just had a couple of tech issues, which honestly our tech issues were so chill until like literally until the final freaking game, which is how unlucky can you get? But seriously? Tech issues were fine. Obviously the tournament structure. I will say this. I don't think all right. We'll talk about this later, chat, because that's just not true. But yeah, what I want to say is obviously the format stuff needed to change. But overall, the event, super exciting, super great. One more thing.
I don't know if this still counts, but I gotta say, from a viewer perspective, since I'm technically a viewer, I thought the single elimination, and somebody said this earlier, in Final Stretch was really fun from a viewer perspective. Extremely fun. And we got to see like all the matches and everyone had like really high stakes. That's my last thought on that.
I'd agree with that. I did feel like a bit more invested, because I'm like, I don't know, they didn't have the safety net. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that already being the safety net of the top 8 teams, but you know,
third chance, all right, technically, but
what I'll say. This format will never exist again. Like, they are not going to do this again. I really don't think so. We're seeing people talk in chat already of, like, I think Dextro saying that the international championships should be international championships. Do the regional finals in the other way they did. I totally agree. I like that a lot. So let's jump to day 2, shall we? Talk about the final stretch. Last thing. We got to talk about the regional finals. Orange Juicers played out of their mind, too. Throughout that tournament, being able to take down G2O to start the tournament was like, okay, like this team's on one. They beat Nemesis 2-1 in an exciting match, even though that game 2 where Nemesis like kind of had them. It felt like Orange Juicers just had that matchup in total. They lose one match to them, but they like crush them in the second one. So I don't know. Orange Juicers are on one. It's cool to see that the momentum that they had in April finals is still there for grand finals. So hopefully they can keep that locked in and bring it into day 2. So I'm hoping that hoping that energy's there. They juiced everybody. They popped up.
I must say I love like all the Orange Juicers like moms and their like orange team shirts. So everyone had, like some people, I think Ripto had like a carton of orange juice.
Yes,
he was like holding.
Ripto,
like,
that's goaded. I love that. Oh, that's so awesome.
Like the brand is good, and it was really cute seeing like the fan. I don't know, like their fans show out and their like supporters. I really enjoyed that. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a genuinely fantastic team. I am very excited to see them at Worlds. Quick off the cuff power ranking, you think of OJ. Wonderchef, do you have Orange Juicers ranked top 10 of all the teams in the world?
Yes.
Okay. Bridget?
Yeah, for sure.
I think so.
I totally agree. The way I was kind of like logicking out in my head is, do you think Orange Juicers can beat Nouns Esports?
Ooh.
That's such a big question mark to me. Like, I genuinely have no idea. It's so weird because it feels like usually EU and NA, we have like some sort of semblance of idea how they're playing relative to each other. But I kind of feel like both NA and EU got a lot, like, I don't want to say they got a lot better, but there were so many shifts and like weird roster things and like meta things. And then like at the end of the season, it felt like both regions like got a lot better, and again, not like got a lot better, but they found their footing. And so, like, every team at NA, at NA regional finals that qualified for Worlds looked better there than they looked last, like, a month ago, without a doubt, by, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, Orange Juicers and, like,
even LG.
I would say LG.
It looks better. Yeah.
Yeah. The meta changes definitely helped them a lot, too. But, And same thing with Nouns, right? Like, Nouns in regional finals looked better than we've ever seen them. And
oh, yes.
It's like,
sure.
We've seen, like, the best tournament from these teams just one at a time. I have no idea how they match up against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like the only thing we could use is EUIC, and everything changed so drastically after EUIC that it's not even comparable.
Yeah. Now we have 2 months to wait for Worlds, so who knows what teams are going to look like. Like, it is so
interesting. We'll see what teams exist.
They gotta exist.
Wonder Chef calling for the doom.
It just happens. It just happens.
It does happen. Teams do blow up. Other teams, yeah, I don't know, we reform. We actually do a few sub announcements already. Nemesis's sub is going to be So Sad Sam, which is pretty sweet. They're bringing Sam to Worlds. And then Ender is going as Orange Juicer's like sub coach position. So they got Bina and Ender on that team, which is two brilliant minds working behind the scenes for that squad. That's really cool. I don't know if LG or G have announced who they're going to kind of be bringing for the next one, but I'm not sure.
I would assume Stockings for LG, but I'm not totally sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would make sense. I'm not sure. I guess we'll see.
We'll find out.
We will find out. Either way, I think I was definitely going into the event. I think we might have even said it on broadcast. And I'm like, this is literally the final tournament of the season for any region. So, like, now is our best look at how we think NA will perform. And I think a lot of the top NA teams, like, really stood up and showed that they can be really big. Can we get Tropicana to sponsor OJ? Sure.
Okay.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Okay. So, let's talk about day two. So, the final stretch. We talked so much about the format on this podcast. So, if you listen to literally any other episode, you know how this works. To bottom five of regional final, top three of the open from day one. Played in this tournament. One thing that was not announced, and there was a few people that were like a little bit upset about the format, but I think overall, most people love this format. I wish we could have done it on broadcast. Unfortunately, there's like a bit of a miscommunication, and we just missed having this being done on broadcast, is because the teams coming from the final stretch had to do so much more work to make it into this tournament, aka get top three in a tournament, the one advantage that they had was that these teams got to choose their opponents to start the tournament, which I thought was so sick. So DOL Kittens, because they got first in that tournament, chose to play against Brave Birders first. Super Secret Team chose Ignorance, and Team YouTube chose Nihao. Were the first, which has left G Exile as a round one matchup, probably like two of the favorites to win the whole thing, which was pretty sick. But let's pull it up on screen so people can see the bracket. Yeah, DOL Kittens versus Brave Birders, G versus Exile, Super Secret Team versus Ignorance, and Team YouTube versus Nihao. I mean, let's talk about it. We only missed one game of this one. Did we actually? No, we did every game on this broadcast.
Got everyone.
Yeah, we got every game on this broadcast. Again, you can start to see why some of these format changes were done. We literally missed one game out of all the matches of these two tournaments on broadcast. That's so cool. We started with DOL Kittens versus Brave Birders, and Muck, Chad, Ryan, Sobi, and Banzo have the audacity to win the first game of the tournament with a 2-point difference. What the heck? Wonder Chef and I were losing our minds backstage. It was like an injection of adrenaline into the tournament. It really felt like it. It was like, everybody wake up. We're playing Pokemon Unite. It was sick.
Yeah, we were freaking out for sure. That entire set was awesome, and it was such a good way to start things off. And then also a good way to kind of set up DOL Kittens, who, like, was just the favorite team of the entire tournament.
Yeah,
for sure. From the crowd. There was a lot of great loud crowd moments, but it was definitely loudest for DOL Kittens.
Oh, yeah, they were They were popping off. How could you not? I mean, you got Banana Suit D-Chad. You got fan favorite Dat Boy Muck. You got Sobe crushing it for women, her words. Like, there was a lot to be excited about with this team. And they played great, too. I mean, Brave Birders had some nice showings against LG in the day before. So, obviously, a team that was still formidable. So, yeah, DOL Kittens able to take them down. Unfortunately, go down to G in the second round. Which was devastating. We wanted to mention too. So, like, the camera obviously loved DOL Kittens, right? They were so exciting. But in that match, when they lose, Chad on the Sableye game too, they're iconic. Like, Chad was like very, very upset. I mean, so many players on DOL Kittens were so upset at that moment, really taking it hard. And I mean, G like going across stage, like hugging them all, like showing lots of love to their competitors and trying to like encourage them and boost them up. I just thought it was one of the coolest shots that we've ever had on stage. It just showed like how much these players care about this game and about this like competitive field and this community. It was so exciting to see that, because you don't get that much, and like just to see that like there's so much passion out there was so exciting. So absolutely loved that moment.
The interview too after the fact.
Yeah, the G interview.
With the respect and love in it. That was really, really nice. It was very, it's really funny because like this was day two was like the wholesome G day.
Yeah.
It happened a lot.
It really was. Like, I know we're talking a lot about DOL Kittens, which, I mean, obviously, but I think G had a lot of, like, I think it was Slash posted that Zealot said after they had beaten Kittens, like, I've never been so sad to win. I'm like, man. That doesn't just, like, break. Like, that's really, like, what it's all about.
Yeah, of course.
Know we can get caught up and kind of the petty stuff sometimes, that having such a genuine moment kind of between two teams that clearly really respected each other was like just cool to even see from the, like, you could tell from sitting there watching that they felt that way. It was really special.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved it. Also, was it the match before when G beat Exile that Black CH said that his mind is a temple? That was so cool. Oh my gosh, I loved it. Oh, someone in chat asking if we talked about the draft opponent format. We did a little bit. We just kind of talked about it. I want to say one thing I really liked. So some of the people were talking about like, G versus Exile shouldn't happen first round. Those are like the two best seeds for the tournament. They're like, yes, but it doesn't matter, because this tournament, literally the only prize ended up being trophies and stuff, but theoretically, the only prize for this tournament was supposed to be, like, just a spot at Worlds. So, like,
well, it's just first place is the point.
Right? Exactly. It's just first place. That's the only award. So, if you're eighth or fourth, it doesn't really matter. Like, there's no difference in terms of, like, placement. So, like, seeing the best matches wasn't a huge deal. But anyway.
Yeah, and I don't really know how else. Weird,
but anyway.
I don't know how else.
You can't seed it. I guess really. You could seed by like. You could seed by like championship points for the. It just doesn't work. Like, it's so awkward. And honestly, this is so much more hype. Like, I think it's more hype. I love it.
Yeah, I'm like,
I do kind of like rewarding. Sorry, the final stretch teams for like, you know, making it through that gauntlet.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Gek. Mm-hmm. It's saying in chat, it's literally a third chance for these teams. Like, it's a third chance. You have your second in groups, loser's bracket, and then this. Like, it's your third chance for Worlds. If you're complaining about bad seeding in a consolation bracket, like, relax. So I thought it was very, very hype. I'm curious. Yeah, I don't know. Thought it was super awesome. Big fan. But okay, yeah, GXL, DOL Kittens, obviously the story. Let's talk about the other end of the bracket. Super Secret Team versus Ignorance. That first game was also super intense, by the way. I can't believe it. Honestly thought Super's team was going to be able to take it when they were able to pull back that one game, make it 2-1. It was awesome. I got to interview Super Secret Team. I interviewed Russ from that squad. One of my favorite interviews. I don't know if anybody got to see it on broadcast, but he's like, yeah, maybe we can win if everybody else gets horribly sick. And, like, disqualifies. Yeah, and he's like, oh, I don't think we're winning. And I was like, so how? What happened in that last match? And then he went, well, I'm on. I had to play slow, bro, but I'm really bad at slow, bro. I probably shouldn't say that. Teams are gonna force me on a slow, bro.
Oh my god!
Oh, I was just losing my mind. Such a funny interview.
Oh, I love it so much.
Oh, so good. But yeah. Hilarious, hilarious stuff. Ignorance, though, going 2-1 against Super Secret Team, and then going 2-1 against YouTube. That was a crazy, crazy match. That one kind of felt like it could go either way, but YouTube just locking in at that last moment and winning it 2-1. And yeah, Team YouTube looked very, very strong in this tournament. Like, kind of making us wish we could send 5 NA teams to Worlds a little bit. They were looking very, very good.
Yeah, man. I was kind of cracking up at, like, just how, like, mage heavy and dominant. I mean, obviously, Phalanx was very much a problem. Like, I felt very much similarities between, like, the Japan qualifiers we watched. I mean, shoot, I guess almost, like, 2 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah.
But just the presence of, like, A9 and Garty coming out of YouTube, I'm like, where, like, I just felt like night and day between I don't know, the Eastern meta we just kind of recently been watching so much of. It was really cool to see. Yeah, Chaotix A9 was, it looked unstoppable, like, so truly
bad. Oh,
it was so fun.
The two trick,
I had a so fun. A pretty cool, oh, that was super funny.
I love that.
He's like, I'm a three trick. But it was cool, actually.
The best comeback, maybe.
I know. But yeah, at AOS Cup, I got a chance to talk to, and I'm sorry, I forget exactly who I was talking to, but it was someone on GT. It was a long time ago. My memory's bad. But I was talking to somebody who was on GT back then. So it was like someone like Black, or I don't know. I actually just don't remember. But they were telling me that they thought that one of the most interesting things was that none of the Gardevoirs made it at EUIC and AOS, because they thought the Gardevoir was really, really good. And just nobody that was playing Gardevoir, specifically who's like a strong NA Pokemon right now, still is, obviously, just didn't make it to AOS Cup. But then in the Grands, we got to see like two of the teams that are the best at Gardy, which is super duper cool.
Yeah.
Because they were able to steal it away from each other as well. It was just like a really cool coincidence.
Yeah. I feel like G was forced into stealing it away from Sam. Like, if Sam's on Gardevoir in that final match,
he's
good at that Pokemon.
It was truly probably one of the only things that could have stopped Sam's Gardy was like Black CHs or like probably Lutanos, you know, like, of course, you run into like the one of the only other guys who also is a demon on this Pokemon. So it was so fun to see that back and forth in Grands.
Yeah, actually, we've talked so much about the narratives and the teams and the runs and everything. We've talked almost very little about the metagame. Bridget, you mentioned how mage heavy it was and stuff like that, but we should spend a little bit of time talking about like what Pokemon we were seeing throughout the event and everything. Yeah, Phalanx is broken. It felt like it took NA a little bit of time to wake up to that fact throughout the tournament. Like, both events, people were like, yeah, let it through. And then they were like, oh, we can't let it through. We can't. Like, everyone was banning Tyranitar at the start, and then Phalanx was just walking over everything, and they're like, oh, maybe this can't happen. And then we finally started to see things change around. It felt like it took us a little too long to learn that. But yeah, Phalanx was unbelievably good in this tournament.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about Phalanx in the meta was that everybody thought that Venusaur was just going to be like, you're an idiot, you picked Phalanx, get countered. And then Phalanx beat Venusaur every single time that we saw it. And it took until the very final match of day 2 for it to be like, oh, this combination of Lucario and Guard was really good against it. But yeah, the fact that everybody was so confident in their counter picks, same thing as well, XL chose Metagross against it. But not a single one of the counter picks worked. It did look good. Sometimes it looked okay, but I mean, Phalanx looks ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
And honestly, Gardevoir looked like one of the best answers to it. like the agreed. Fairy singularity, all because you get it so frequently too. It's like, yeah, it's a pretty good answer to Phalanx. Like, don't mind that, because it's Unite doesn't give it Unstoppable, which I think is like the big key difference. If it did, I don't think it'd work. But the fact that it can't ult out of it is really, really good. We did get a question from Gek in chat, one of the biggest fans of the podcast. So thank you, Gek. I don't know if this was brought up already, but what was Pokemon's reaction to the trash talk? So I need to know if we're normalizing this. I have some things to say next year. I will this. Pokemon loved it. Like, they just love the energy that the Unite Unite stuff brings on to the broadcasts and everything, and they just like that we have fun. I did always, like, let the players know beforehand. I was preemptive, but just like, listen, just don't swear. Like, that's, like, the big thing. Just don't swear, and, like, don't be like they are garbage, you know? Like, I mean, maybe you could, that's fine. But, like, I think, yeah, we could definitely have some TPC would not. Oh, that is interesting, actually, Cass. That is an interesting question. You calling it minor things, by the way, Cass, I wouldn't exactly agree with it being minor. but that we can debate that fact later. At the event, it was not minor. But yeah, yeah, I think the trash talk definitely can happen a little bit more. The 1v1 interviews on stage were such a huge hit.
Loved that.
Will be happening more. Like, they... Worlds will be tougher because language barriers and stuff, so I don't know if they will happen as much there. But, like, definitely they will return. They're really, really good. So, yeah. I mean, they're just fun, you know? And it's,
yeah,
it's a good time.
Yeah, you can tell, like, a lot of the players, like, know each other. I mean, at this point, most of these players have been playing against each other for, like, years. Like, I don't know. Like, that, I could just tell. It just made it so fun. Like, I think it was, like, Pikachu and Slash. You guys had, like, face-off against you. It was, I don't know. It was, like, weirdly, like, cute and, like, fun. Like,
yeah. I gotta admit, like, some of them I was, like, kind of tell the players. Like, I was, like, okay, at the end, I'm gonna throw. Like, you guys, like, do the stare down. And that ended up being probably the best photo of the entire weekend
definitely.
Was those two staring down, and we get just like both of them having the little smirk on their face too. It was so good. I absolutely loved that moment. It was awesome. So yeah, big fan of that. I do think we see that repeat again. We do got to mention it, of course. The grand finals was awesome outside of the literal worst timing for tech issues of all time. I mean, you got to feel for YouTube. That does suck. Like, so many frequent issues after that. It was awful. It just sucks that an event ran so smoothly outside of just that one moment. But, yeah, either way, G qualifies for the World Championships. They are going to be headed there. It's going to be awesome. Slash and Overlord, both at Worlds again. So, it is going to be... It is going to be an awesome event. I mean, two of that squad being at the event will be very, very cool. But yeah, any more notes from NEIC or anything like that we wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. Are we?
Oh, you know what? I do. Let's talk about day three. Let's talk about Sunday. So, Unite wasn't on Sunday, unfortunately. Hopefully in the future. Trust everybody. Like, the Unite people are pushing hard for it behind the scenes. And I think a test of a single elimination match with no bracket reset. I'm literally just calling. Like, this is literally me calling it off a hunch. I have no actual information. Feels like they're trying to set it up in a way that maybe we would be able to be on Sunday. That's all I'm saying. So hopefully. But anyway, that was very, very cool. Sunday, we had a bunch of Unite side events going on. They were going on Saturday, too. I don't know if there was any on Friday. Apparently, the Saturday ones are pretty popular. But I was on Sunday. I was at the event. I didn't get to play in the Eeveelution-only tournament, but that one was fully at max capacity. Very cool to see teams playing. I got to play in the next one, which is just the solo queue event. So if you're ever interested in going to an in-person Unite tournament, you can kind of know that this is available now. You just sign up individually. You just sign up as a random individual, and they pair you with four other players, and then you just play three rounds of Swiss, and you get tickets for the prize wall and everything. It was awesome. My team was crazy stacked. I was on I was on Team Trico, and it was me, Sweet Emma. I don't know if any of you know Emma. She's off Eldegoss God. Emma. She was Carrie.
Yes. Icon.
Yeah, we had Kira. I think I'm saying that right. Not Kira. Oh gosh, it's up to the K. Why am I forgetting now? One of the A pressers, team members. They were playing Buzzwole Tank the whole time for me. I was on Attacker. I was basically a Chandelure one trick. It was very fun. And then we had Russ and Bats on our team. Like, we were unbelievably good. Like, we went 3-0. It was very fun. We went up against Sneaky Seal's team, and he was playing Lucario Jungle with a Comfey pocket. And then at one point, I hear Sneaky go up, "Why is there a Wiggly stealing my jungle?" And Russ is just laughing. And that was so fun. I was having such a good time. I was like, if I am just like interested in Unite, I see that like one match we were paired against, like it was like a dad and his son. And then like he's like, okay, yeah, like now we go bottom together. It's like, all right. And like going and stuff. And I'm like, that's awesome. I just hope they expand them. Genuinely, like, I just hope we get more. Like, maybe even like a slightly more like competitive focus one, where it's like not just like a for fun solo queue one. Maybe you sign up as a team as a whole nother like little side bracket with maybe more prize tickets available, or a booster box of like TCG cards, or just anything really. Like, I feel like often the booster box is the prize for side events, though. So that'd be really cool. I guess I don't know how you do that for like a whole team of five. Anyway, it's fine.
You can split it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Side events are just so pog, and I am a huge fan of them. They all ran extremely well. In fact, they opened it up for more because they had so much interest on Sunday, and that like we had too many stations full, so they had to like, they're like, hey, we're taking away the free play stations for now to make more room for the tournament. So they had to do that, and then they made more room and we finished up the tournament. It was great. I had a blast. Yeah. Chef and Bridget, I don't think, did either of you get to do any side event stuff at the at there?
I did not. I was not able to. I brought my Switch. Like, I was ready on Saturday, and then I just watched Final Stretch all day. Right. So I wasn't able to make it on Sunday. And then I actually found out from Zoinks, you don't even really need to bring your own Switch. Like, they'll provide you one, so PSA. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm just super stoked, like, our community, like, showed out, and, like, I mean, it seemed like we, like, almost filled the capacity for, like, every single event, so we showed how in demand this kind of thing is, and it makes me, I don't know, I'm just so proud of you guys. I'm just so happy. It makes me excited, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. For the future. Yeah, Wonder Chef, I know you got to see them, but, yeah, what were your thoughts on the side events?
Yeah, I was busy for them on Sunday, which was very, very sad. I had to do some work stuff from the hotel, but and maybe sleep in a little bit, but but definitely it was the work thing. And then I got there right as it was ending, which is unfortunate. But I think side events are awesome, and I, for a long time, have really wanted to do a shuffle tournament for like online, because I think that's such a good way for to, like, people to meet each other. It's really tough to find teams, right? I know so many people that are like, oh yeah, I'd love to play Unite, I'd love to try competitive, but they just don't know anybody, and everybody that's been playing together has been playing together for so long. And I think that idea is like really cool, and it was a really great choice that they decided to do that. Whoever at Pokemon decided that, good, big shout outs.
Yeah, genuinely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd love to do that online, honestly. Maybe like slightly different, maybe a few more games, you know, like go to five or something, reshuffle teams, something like that. I know Apex Legends does it a lot.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And it's super cool. It might help people build new teams, especially in the middle of seasons. Like, it could be a really cool way for people to find some friends that really want to play next season. So yeah. I'll figure that out. We'll see.
Cool. I've done a couple, like, over the years, there's been some like kind of like randomized tournament teams throughout the years, and I've gotten to play with like Archery that way. Like, I've actually met like some of my like best Unite friends through like randomly placed on a team with them. So
that's awesome.
I definitely shout out that format.
I hope these keep seeing success. Let me say, Spraggles and I were on pitch deck duty for it on Sunday. We were talking to some organizers, and we were like, what about this for a side event? What about this for a side event? We have some pretty fun ideas. So I hope we get to see more. I didn't get to see any of this. Like, there was you could only play starter Pokemon in one. Yeah. I was like, that's really cool. But I did get to see the evolution one. I heard that was just like a blast. So, yeah, like, you could do all roles. I have so many ideas. So great to see Yeah, great to see the side events being successful. Very, very fun. In my opinion, I think everything was ran pretty well. Obviously, there's going to be hiccups. Like, it's like kind of the first time for a lot of these events. UIC didn't have it. So, just, I don't know. Overall, it was really, really solid. The other thing that's always cool with the side event is just that there's an area set up with a ton of Unite setups now because of the final stretch happening. So Sunday, if there's not a side event going on, the free play areas, that's usually like some people just kind of checking it out and like, yeah, I'll play some Unite. And then there's like all the players who are like, who are just still at the venue are like, yeah, let's run in-houses. So you see like three stations of just like random, extremely good players playing in-houses. And that is awesome. So I was a huge fan of everybody participating in the event. That was pretty cool. So yeah, next one, I really hope we'll see more of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that finally concludes our NEIC talk. I think we're finally out. Shout out to everybody who we saw at the after parties and stuff, and we're hanging out. It was really cool to meet a lot of people in person. NA community is really awesome. So yeah. That was sweet. Oh, wish you could find out what mics they use. Ripto, they're all Astros. So they're all like Astro headsets and Astro mixers, I think. But yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. EUC hat side events, but just good old in-houses. Yeah, they were... I think they just didn't have enough time to plan the side events they wanted to. I think that was kind of like a last-minute thing, but the in-houses were popping off at EUIC, I heard. I unfortunately had to leave on Sunday from London, so I wasn't able to hang out for any of that. But next time, not make that mistake. But okay. This is hilarious that we're going to have a long episode on the one that Wonder Chef's on.
Okay. I'm going to make this longer. Where did that come from? Because every time I talk in chat, you guys are like, oh, it's a long episode. Chef's not going to like that. When did that happen? When did this start? Because
you were in chat one time, and I was like, oh, sorry, this is going to be a long episode. You were like, literally every episode is a long episode. You were like, Wonder.
There's never been an episode. Okay, I need somebody to go back in time and look at Overdunk,
so
every single one, and see how many episodes Zoinks hasn't said, well, we're going to go long this episode, because it's every single time, but okay. It's not bad. I don't mind. I would listen to it for 2 hours. I'm just saying.
I mean, you're cooking us, and you're so true. But I will.
I'm cooking you. I don't know.
Whoa, you're solidarity, Bridget. I don't know. Okay, the thing with going long and stuff is our Twitch stream is longer, but like the actual like recorded episode is usually contained to just about an hour. Yeah. So anyway, okay. The next big subject that we got to talk about is the fact that the World Championships format was officially revealed today and the schedule for day one and two. There's some very exciting stuff, and I do not want to wait until next episode to talk about it. So we have to talk about it, in this one. Where is my button to click? There it is. Okay. Bringing it up on screen. The Pokemon World Championships. Here we go. Tournament info. So, this is for Unite. This awesome photo of Japan, by the way. God, that event was so fun. Competitor information. Where am I actually looking for?
Well, yeah. Can we talk about this? How is this website so cute?
Oh, my God.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I just want to go on the website.
The worlds.pokemon, websites are always amazing. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. So, let's talk about the format of the event. So, teams can enter. This is the regions. Tournament rules, form, and structure. Teams will compete on Friday, August 16th and Saturday, August 17th using the 5-on-5 draft pick format on the Thea Sky Ruins map in Pokemon Unite. Teams will be divided into 8 groups during the group stage. So 8 groups is returning. 8 groups is returning during the group stage. The top 2 teams from each group will advance to the single elimination bracket stage. Here is our first 2 changes in one sentence. This year, 30 teams in total swim. 2 teams will make it out of every group. Puck, this was like the biggest point of contention last year. Like, this, the biggest point of feedback was you go to Worlds and you literally only play, if you lose your first game, it's over for you. It was that brutal of a format. Small groups, it just means it's over. So this is a very positive change. I like it a lot. Now, 2 groups, that's usually for most of the groups, that's 2 teams will not make it out of groups. I think there'll be a couple of groups with only 3 teams. So yeah, 16 teams will be making it into day 2. And then all matches are best of three except the grand finals, which is a best of five because day two is single elimination. This is going to be controversial for sure. I think some people are going to love this. Some people are going to hate this. I think it's a pretty positive change that we are moving the like super harsh, like hellish day from day one on to day two. I think that is better for the players and just for everybody in general, but I'm going to specifically talk about the players now. The fact that you can play out an entire group stage and like consistently play the whole thing trying to compete to win, I think is very, very good. And then, of course, the top two teams will move it out onto the single elimination stage. I'm also going to talk about why it's good for broadcast, but maybe we can mention that when we start looking at the schedule. But yeah, that is just the first thing. It's obviously the biggest change. So let's chat about it. Wonder Chef, how are you feeling about this change?
I really like the change.
Okay.
Obviously, in a perfect world, we get exactly what we just said in chat, 3-day event. But so, for the amount of games that we have,
No, I'll talk about that later. You go. Okay. The 3-day event thing gets brought up every time, and it's like it's impossible the way people think 3-day event means. But we can talk about it after. Yeah. Keep going.
Honestly, they could just make Worlds one extra day. But
they should for every game. Every game would benefit from it. Like it they should be another day. I don't know how they have it yet. They're whatever. Oh my gosh.
TCG would be happier than we are. But okay.
TCG would be over the moon. Okay, I will let you talk eventually. Yes.
No, you will not. Correct. This is why I don't like longer episodes.
Stop me again.
It just happens. No. So I do think for the time restrictions that we have and the broadcast restrictions we have, it's awesome. The biggest thing for me is, of course, the so we're seeing a question like, how is it an improvement? So the biggest thing during last Worlds was that basically in groups of four, the two kind of best teams would play, and obviously there were upsets, but you could basically get into a situation where you lose one game and you know that there's going to be a team in your group that is not going to lose a game, and you could just say, well, the rest of my Worlds run, the next like two full sets that we have, they don't mean anything. And so it was a lot of like weird matches where people already knew that they weren't going to qualify, and it was like pretty depressing because people would play one match off stream, realize they weren't going to qualify, and then that was their entire run. And a lot of people fell like flat very quickly. And also having the stress of basically like when you can mess up be later rather than earlier is always tough, because a lot of times people will go into tournaments, especially Unite, the team needs like a game or like a set to warm up, and then they'll mess up, and then they'll go essentially in the losers in a lot of our brackets, and then suddenly they're just amazing. And that's what now there's an opportunity to do when two people make it out of that group stage rather than just one. So just from a viewer perspective and a player perspective, you get a little bit more leeway early in the day or early in the tournament,
right?
And then as the tournament goes later, then you get into the top 16 and you should know at that point, you're like, I don't actually have any more chances to mess up, but we've already been playing through this entire tournament, so we are not in a spot where we should mess up, and if we do, we're in top 16 of Worlds, who cares? So I like that a lot. And then the biggest thing for me is broadcast, both day one and day two benefit a lot from that, because single elimination was awesome for final stretch. There's always going to be huge stakes on the line. We get to see more matches that actually mean things, and then on day one we don't get as many matches that mean literally nothing, which is something that we got to see. So
right,
that was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it's here's the thing. I think with these changes, like Cass was saying it in chat, like they definitely are seeing criticism and responding to it. And like I know for a fact the biggest piece of criticism that we've gotten almost every single World Championships, like all 2 years so far, and throughout tournaments, the entire history of Pokemon Unite, is we're not seeing enough games on broadcast. We're just not.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the response at NAIC and here at Worlds, I think, is pretty clearly in that direction. Because I have been told, and we'll look at the schedule here in a moment, we are intending, like, the broadcast is intending to only miss two matches on day two.
Nice.
Out of a top 16 bracket. That's 13 matches on broadcast, by the way. This is going to be long days, obviously, but it is going to be It is going to be extremely, extremely long, but very, very
positive. I did want to...
Yeah, Bridget, please.
Sorry, comment on the groups. I really just want to emphasize that I love that how less of a bloodbath day one is.
Yes.
I think having 16 teams go into day two instead of, what was it, 8 last year? Was it one group or one team from
yeah,
8 groups
there's one
last
team
year?
From each group, yeah.
I think that is so much, I mean.
This is so much better. Yeah, this day
just,
one is so much better.
So much better for the players. I'm really, really, really happy that we are getting so many more people into day two, so many more teams into day two than we did last year. I know the single limit. I think the biggest criticism I've seen is like, well, why aren't the second place in groups starting in a theoretical loser's bracket on day two? But I think to your guys' point, from a broadcast perspective, it makes a lot of sense why it's the single elim bracket.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm just really hyped that there's a 16 teams going into day two. I think that is awesome.
So I did the math because I saw that idea going around on Twitter and stuff, and I genuinely like it. Like, I like the idea of doing first in groups goes to winners, second in groups goes to losers. It adds more than that. I think it adds like 8 total matches to the tournament that had to be played out. So we would just miss way more games with it. So, but I don't hate the idea. It is interesting for sure. But anyway, yeah, a big, big change. So let's look at the actual schedule. You can download the schedule off of that page, by the way, if anybody's watching live on Twitch, you can take the pin. So Friday, August 16th, broadcast starts at about 9:45 because the opening ceremony begins at 9. That was the epic one from Japan last year with the giant drums. So sick. Love it. It goes all the way to 7 p.m. And then there's this mystery slot just labeled show match.
Ooh.
Very cool.
Don't know what it is, but I love it.
Yeah. Like, there's no information on the website about what show match is. It's just on the schedule. I think it's crazy. Kratos, yeah, 12-hour day. They are long days. They are long days, but also catch up, dude. I've been rocking these 12-hour days for too long. This is... broadcast wise it's gonna be a long day, but anyway, very, very excited. That's gonna be the group stage on day one. Day two, we go into the single elimination play until finals. This is another big change that we're talking a lot about. I put it on Twitter. This, unfortunately, no Unite on Sunday, which is an L. It's a bummer. I wish that our
L for them.
Yeah
kind of them too.
So that is a bummer. Wish that we had it on Sunday, but I will take the consolation W that on Saturday, you can see this little missing time block between single elim and finals. They are intentionally holding the Unite Grand Finals to be at the end of every other broadcast. So that will be the final match of the day in the venue, which means that there's a few cool things. Full stage takeover will be available. So like how all the other games have like, you know, like all the lights or whatever are like all for that game and everything, like all the venue LEDs will be there. The crowd will only have like one thing to watch at that moment. Also heard rumors about a specific twitch.tv website that doesn't have anything after the word Pokemon that we might be able to be on that for our grand finals. So,
okay.
So yeah, hopefully this will be sick. It'll be a long and tired, and it's World Championships, baby. It's a gauntlet. We'll see.
Okay, you guys can take a little nap in between.
Yeah, you see this little time slot? This is nap time. You got nap time right here in this moment.
Add that to the graphic, please.
Yeah, please add nap and time slot. Yeah, I don't know. I do think it's a positive change. This will be cool. I'm excited about this. Nap time is good here. Exactly. All right, which is Libido. They're locked in. I love it. Okay, so And that is kind of what we can look forward to. So some exciting stuff. Question marks on whatever show match is. Pretty excited for that. Oh, that'll be awesome. And then, of course, day two is going to be sweet. Like I mentioned, it was told to me that the intent out of 15 total matches that happen in a single elimination top 16 bracket, we were hoping to get 13 of those matches on main stage, on broadcast. Which is the best thing, like, that's the best we've ever done on a broadcast. So, very, very cool. And yeah, I think this is an awesome tournament we should be excited about. We gotta wait 2 months for it, but eventually we'll be back. eventually.
Okay, can I say one thing that I actually didn't think about format for UIC that I wish existed and didn't, or sorry, NAIC, that I really hope we get for Worlds.
Okay.
I have no idea, genuinely. I'm really sad we didn't get the Battle Hub stream back, because that was very cool for EUIC.
I was wondering about that, too.
And I would have loved it for the first day of NAIC, and I would really love it for the first day of Worlds. So
just to have an additional steam
Pokemon
on
Doomstage. Yeah. And I mean, I just think that it's really good for everybody to have their matches recorded for history, right? So,
yep,
if you get a chance to go to Worlds, so I really 100%. Hope we get that back. They did a great job. Love the Battle Hub people, obviously. So that's my thought.
Yeah, we're all pretty Battle Hub involved. So it would be awesome to see. It would
unbiased.
Of course. Yeah, no, it would be
Sorry, they know they did the B stream for Worlds last year, which was just. I don't even just like uncasted, but they at least like streamed the games, and it was nice to even just have that at least. So.
Right, exactly. It got more, even though there was like a C and D stage too. But like the fact that they were still just putting out more matches was really exciting.
We'll have Sneaky Seal on the floor again, streaming from his phone.
Honestly, shout out Sneaky Seal for clutching up in some of those, because that is huge. That is huge. I mean, just get to, but no, the two single limb matches probably happen at the same time that are off stream. Oh, no.
Dang it.
Yeah, okay, so it is possible. We're all hoping for Battle Hub to come back. That would be so great for Worlds. I really do hope that happens. But yeah, same. Anyway, I think that finally brings us to the end of our episode. Obviously, so much to talk about. We're going to have a lot of... Inder did do the stream of Ni Hao versus Nam at NASC. That was kind of cool. On the phone, the like IRL stream. I think I also was on that stream for a sec. I was like,
nice.
When I was walking by.
Good job.
But yeah, that did happen. It was pretty cool. But okay, I think that brings us to the end of our episode. We're going to be talking a lot about more in-game stuff next week, probably, because Serralege is getting added to the game, so a new Pokemon. Maybe it'll come with a balance patch. Who knows? So we'll have some more to chat about then, but of course, we're going to be talking about a lot of Worlds chatter for the next couple of months as we await this awesome fantastic tournament. Thank you, Cass, for reminding me why I want to speak on why 3 days wouldn't work. 3 days would work if Worlds ever had 3 days, is like the only thing. Like, the other games only have one match on Sunday, right? So if we only had one match on Sunday, it's like one match out of what, like 30 or 40 that are happening in total, like throughout the weekend. Like, it just wouldn't buy that much time. So yes, I think Wonderchef, like, you and I are aligned. Worlds should just start on Thursday for all the games. Yeah. The Worlds should start on Thursday and be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. That is how that's how Worlds should run. It is that big. It should operate like that. And like, we're not the only ones desperately wanting that. Like, TCG really, really wants that. I mean, there's thousands of people competing in that one. They're desperately trying to, like, I mean, they're playing late hours, so yeah, they definitely want it. I think it would be awesome, and Worlds is just growing so much, just add a fourth day, but
yeah.
Anyway, that's our opinions on that. But okay, end of the episode, everybody. Bridget, anything to shout out or plug before we close out?
The hot dog bit, Spreggle yes. stuff was really funny. I wanted to talk about it more.
I laughed so hard
picture, I think.
Yes.
I don't know if you or Duke
I posted it. I posted it.
But you are
it, yeah.
losing your mind.
It was, I don't know. Picture. Like, Spraggles has so many bits on broadcast, right? And they are very funny. That one was the funniest thing he's ever done. And I, like, it just hit me so hard. I think it's because he was basically one-upping me with that bit. Because I, like, I did like a crowd hype up moment. I was like, Sam's Decidua. And the crowd was like, yeah. And then he's like, how do you feel about free hot dogs? And that was, oh my, it was the funniest thing in the world. I'd never been ratioed by an entire crowd of people live in an event before. I think
just
that's why it
dog.
Was so funny. And it, yeah, by a hot dog, truly. Oh gosh, it was awesome. So I loved that bit. Very, very fun. Also, that led us into doing the four-person cast of the first game of Grand Finals.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of cool.
I love that.
Yeah,
I was
it
like,
was
are they quad casting right now?
Yes.
Like, let's go.
Some high energy. Oh, my gosh. We didn't even talk about the guests on broadcast that we were able to get on. That was a huge highlight. Yeah, Wondership, talk about some of that. I thought it was, like, some of the coolest stuff we did.
It was some of the coolest stuff we did, but we didn't get any guests for
yeah.
some reason.
Shout out to Spraggles and Doomsnacks. I was getting guests for Spraggles and Doomsnacks and setting them up there. And then,
wow.
Then when Shep and I are on, we never got anybody sent up to us. So,
womp womp.
Yeah, bit of a bummer.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we got Husky cool. and Kyle up there, which was so cool. Like, also cute, very cute behind the scenes moment. Both Kyle and Husky's partners were there at the event with them, and while they were on there, they were standing beside the lounge recording the entire thing on their phones.
Oh,
I was like, that is so sweet. Also, this is live on broadcast
job.
You could just clip it, but whatever. So nice. So cute. So that was really awesome. It was huge. It was great to get an interview on stage in day two that also included a draft breakdown. Loved that. And then, of course, we got Zugrug and Roland on there as well, the champs of the region to kind of come on and talk about, which was really, really sweet. So loved that. And I think that also got huge positive feedback from everybody, crowd, production, people that were on it. So I think could definitely look forward to more guest spots on stuff, which is great.
Heck yeah.
Makes the event very
Spraggles
fun for
told
people.
Me he was looking for me, but I think yep. I was getting a hot dog. So
what? How am I getting ratioed by hot dogs so hard the entire time?
Even by Anna.
Yeah. Anna buying into the hot dog bit was the best. During the trophy ceremony of day two. Yes. So good. So good. Okay. Glissy Prairie, to get out of here. All right. Wonder Chef, anything to shout out before the end of the show?
I want to shout out Machizel. I don't know if everybody saw the Joker stats, but Machizel was like top four in average damage taken and had like the highest damage taken game in the entire tournament. And I really want to know how that happened because that is very impressive. And Machizel was in here, so I would love to know that answer. But
Machizel, how much are you trash? Running it down? How are you taking this much damage?
It's very impressive.
That is so funny. I mean, Garchomp will probably do that for you, right? But anyway, it is.
Well, highest is still very impressive. But
yeah.
I think okay, I guess this is like my serious answer. It's a little I don't know, not a nice answer, but it's a nice in a way. That person that was threatening everybody, we got to learn that they're a bitch and we didn't have to worry about it. And we know that for the rest of our lives, right?
Yeah.
We basically do after this. So big shout outs. I just want to say to everybody in the community who had to deal with that. And definitely, obviously, fully understand for people who didn't feel safe. But the people who came out and managed to show that we're still cool, even when people are being jerks, is I think it was a great look for the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell
big
yeah.
shout out. I literally punched my fist in the air when you were saying
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Bridget
and I
are popping off. Yeah.
Oh. The replay. You're going to have to record it. And
yeah.
Got fun with them? Damn, okay. Bitch. That's awesome. Oh,
yeah,
I love
that.
That is so, so true.
I do want to shout out, like, I know, like, we can all have our differences and stuff, but I really feel like when the Unite community comes together in person, I mean, I can only speak for NA because I've only been to NAIC, but I feel like this is across the regions, everyone is so great in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have friends in some of the other sports, or esports in Pokemon, and I know they can all have some issues, but wow, I just feel like when we're in person, it's just such the opposite. So,
yeah.
Shout out everyone for just being cool.
Yeah, good.
Like you guys.
Together moments, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm so glad we get more of these in-person events, because, yeah, I think Spraggles talks about this a lot, too, and he's so right. It's like, the way he describes it, I think it's like, you're just a person, you know, at the end of the day. Like, you meet them, you're like, oh, yeah, you're just a person. Like, and, yeah, you're able to, yeah, be humans, be awesome. And I think everybody, good job of being awesome this weekend. It was very
good job, guys.
I think I had some of the most fun I have ever had at Unite. It was awesome. So, yeah. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Okay, that finally brings us to the end of our episode. That's our NAIC recap, as well as our look at the Worlds format. We're talking, like I mentioned, a lot of in-game stuff, more world stuff coming up as the episodes go on. So we'll see you all next week for another episode of Overdunk. I'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.